The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Merry, mighty Christmas. The merry men were strong. They were soldiers. So we have every right to say, "Merry, mighty Christmas," and to celebrate wholeheartedly. Now, kiddos, you listen to the story so well. This candle in front of me represents Jesus Christ tonight, and he has been with us and is with us. And so every time I say, "Jesus is the light of the world," I want you to take those little lights and shake them, okay? So you're going to help me, right? All right, you're going to do it. Good. We are blessed by the reading of the Word of God tonight and the story of what happened in Bethlehem. And I'm especially attracted to those shepherds because they heard this message and they checked it out. And when they found Jesus, it was just as God had said. And then they went out and told people about it. They set such a great example for us. We've been, this Christmas season, meditating on the truth that Jesus is God's beloved Son. This is what God said, the Father said at his baptism and then at his transfiguration. "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And that's such a wonderful, wonderful theme, something for us to keep in mind. And why did Jesus come? Well, in his own words, he told us, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." It was not, he could have condemned the world without ever sending his Son. But instead, he sent his Son so that we might not know condemnation, but that we might know salvation. And what a wonderful, wonderful blessing this is. And as he said in the verse before, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have ever eternal life." The motivation was God's love. God loved the world. His love always existed. It exists today. It will forever exist. And when he says he loves the world, he's not talking about the universe and the creation. He's talking about you. He's talking about people in the world. I have absolute confidence and can say to you tonight, God loves You. You say, well, I'm not very lovable. Well, a lot of us aren't. In fact, none of us are always lovable. I have a dear friend. I called him today. I said, what are you preaching today? He says, I made a new song. Oh, come all ye unfaithful. Because none of us are faithful. None of us have always gotten it right. And we need a Savior. And God loves us. And He loved us. And so, we're like sheep who go astray. But He still loves us. He still loves us. So He took action. What did He do? He gave His one and only Son. He gave us His one and only Son. A phrase that is very unique. He is the unique Son because He's the eternal Son. He was always existing with the Father and the Spirit. They had a perfect love relationship. But Jesus, the Son, in obedience to His Father, in the leading of the Spirit, and by His own willingness, came. And He was a gift to us. He's the one and only Son, the only begotten Son, as the old King James Version says it. And here's some other places where that phrase appears. John said, the Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus is the light of the world, right? Amen. There He is. That's right. And He shined the glory of God. All the attributes, all the perfections that are in the Father and the Spirit are in Jesus, and they were revealed to us when He came to the earth. And John and the other apostles examined Him and found this to be true. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. Again, this is why He came, because Jesus is the light of the world, right? Yes, He came to enlighten us. He came to show us who the Father really is. Now, this all comes together beautifully, His motivation and the action in 1 John 4. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, yes, and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus bore the penalty for our sins that we deserve. And He paid this penalty in full at the cross. So, as Lindsay wisely told us, you can't just celebrate Christmas without the crucifixion and then the resurrection, because that's the whole story, because God loved us and took action. Now, how do we respond? Well, the verse tells us, whoever believes in Him, we believe. We must choose to believe. We must choose to put our trust in Him. It's not just believing about Him, that He was a historic figure, but actually trusting everything to Him. Everything. Because He is the Savior. He is the one who came to save us. John uses a specific phrase, believe in Him. And he puts that little preposition in because that communicates trust. Because Jesus is the light of the world and He can give us life. And so what happens? The miracle happens. We receive the gift of eternal life. We believe and then we receive. What an amazing gift. A gift that's appropriate for everybody you've ever known or met or ever will meet. You ever buy gifts and think, I'm not sure this is going to work too well. That never happens when one believes on Christ and receives the gift of eternal life. Eternal life does not begin when you die. It begins the moment you believe. That's what the verse tells us. We immediately receive this incredible gift called eternal life. If you're here tonight and you've never really trusted Christ, you can. Why wouldn't you? All these blessings will come your way. Don't let another Christmas go by without believing on Christ. This is the great gift that God gave us because He loved us so that we might have everlasting or eternal life. Now, many of us in the room tonight have received the eternal life. And Paul says something very interesting to the young pastor at Ephesus, Timothy. He says, fight the good fight of the faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, it's been a pretty tough battle. I've been struggling with some stuff, and my faith, I'm wrestling in my faith. The word fight, we get our word agonize from it. Do you feel like you're agonizing? There's some situations, there's some heartaches. Listen, it's a good fight. Fight the good fight. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And then he says this, take hold of eternal life. Now, I find that a very interesting verb, because obviously he believed that Timothy had eternal life. He was a pastor, and he had given him the ministry at Ephesus. Take hold is used in Scripture of arresting someone. Kind of interesting. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. And so I ask you, are you taking hold of eternal life? You have this incredible gift. Are you taking hold of it? Are you living it out? Or is it something you just pull off the shelf once a week, or maybe once a year, a couple times a year? Well, let me try to illustrate this for us. I brought along a little illustration. One of our dear sisters here shared this with me. She was over for a meal recently with her husband, and she said, I saw this illustration, and it really changed my life. So I'm hoping that you'll have a similar experience. Let's say that this little jar represents your life, your day, and you know, you get up in the morning and you gotta go and you know, you gotta take a shower, I hope, and shave if you're a man, and you know you gotta get some breakfast, right? And then you head off, maybe you go to work, and on the way to work, you know, somebody, you know, turns and doesn't use their turn signal. So, you know, but you just see it, you know, you see it, and then you remember, oh, you got to go to the doctor today. Oop, yeah, got to get that done. And then you're saying, well, you know, I'm a man, and I'm working, and this guy's just driving me crazy at work. Well, you know, this just keeps piling up. Yeah, got to do it. And you know, and you come home, and you remember you got to get to the grocery store, so you got to get some food, and then you're going to eat, I guess, and then eventually, you know, the day gets full, and you know, it's time to go to bed, and you're like, wow, my day was full. And then, just as you're, before you close your eyes, I need to get God in this, represented by the walnut. He doesn't get involved in much, does he? And you wonder why you're not experiencing that abundant life that he promised. But you shut God out. You did all this stuff. And you weren't doing wrong stuff, necessarily, but you just let yourself be distracted by all those things. Well, let's take this jar. Let's do this a little different. What might we do? Well, how about we get up in the morning and we put God in? We think about Him in the morning. Maybe we pray a word of prayer. Maybe we read some scripture, you know, and we pray for some others. And then of course, yeah, we gotta get our shower, and we gotta get dressed, and you know, and we're on our way to work, and when we're thinking, well, you know, today I gotta see this guy, and you know, he's tough, and Lord, would you help me? You know, you just ask God to help you on the way, and then that person, you know, who we saw the day before, you know, they turn without their turn signal, and you get really mad, so you gotta pray a prayer of confession, you know, okay, so. Yeah, we get that. Yeah, we understand that. And then, you know, it gets on about 3:00 and you're getting a little tired and you go, Lord, I need a praise break. So, you know, you just give a little praise to God. And I talk to myself, preach to myself all the time. I understand, you know, and it works. It helps me. And at the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow at night, I'm like, you know, God was impacting the whole day. Everything I did was touched by Him in one way or another. Dr. Cook, the president of the school I went to, used to say, pray your way through the day. It's a good word. Don't stop till you get home at night. Pray your way through the day. You know, there's a great verse of Scripture. Many of us have memorized it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. It's the same principle that we saw, believe on Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. and lean not on your own understanding. You don't have to figure it all out. Listen, your understanding, my understanding ain't that good sometimes anyway. But trusting in God is the way to learn and to grow. And then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Bring your knowledge of God into everything you do. So which life was doing that? This one. The one who included God along the way. You brought your knowledge of God into all your ways. Ways are the steps you're taking right now, the things you're going to do right now, the very moment, your ways. And then he makes a promise. And he will direct your paths. He will guide your paths. Guess what paths are? They're the things that are in the future, the things that are going to come next. Unfortunately, if you're not walking in his ways, you might not know what's coming on the path. You might be prepared for what's coming on the path. So I was encouraged by this, that this is a good illustration. I hope it encourages you tonight. Let's live our lives more conscious of the presence of God in our lives. Not just trying to throw it in at the end of the day, but actually incorporating our faith, our eternal life, living it out, taking hold of eternal life. And of course, when we do that and when we acknowledge that, we realize that we have a responsibility. Because Jesus is the light of the world, right? We want to share this with others.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.